Hello, everyone, and welcome to Journey to Success Radio, a show featuring people and companies who are making a positive contribution to the world. This show will help you learn how to apply success principles in every area of your life so that you can make the most out of your skills and talents and accomplish more of your goals. To find out more about the show, please visit www.journeytosuccessradio.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Journey to Success Radio Network. My name's Tom Tuttle Cunningham. I'm a Napoleon Hill Foundation certified instructor and resiliency expert, helping people to think, speak, and act positively through the many and varied challenges of life. For the interview today, we have a soon-to-be Napoleon Hill certified instructor who just completed the trip, certification trip to French Lick, Indiana. And also joining us today is fellow Napoleon Hill Foundation certified instructor Tim Chim from New York, my mentor, my hero, my friend, my upcoming co-author, most amazing life story I've ever heard. Introduce yourself for a minute, Tim, and then we'll get on to Hillary here.
Yes, hi, Tom. My name is Tim Chim. I was born and raised in Cambodia. At the end of the Vietnam War, I was slated to be transported to a remote area in Cambodia to be killed. And I am a Napoleon Hill Foundation certified instructor who lives in New York. My dreams for freedom of body, mind, and spirit began when Cambodia plunged into the war-torn country in 1970s. And then the only thing I visualized was to come to America to seek for freedom of mind, body, and spirit. And I was one of the millions who was sent to be executed. And again, with the principle of Dr. Hill, with the picture of the freedom in mind, I dreamed on. I never forgot about the dream to come to see America. While I was waiting in a long line, Tom and Hillary, to be killed, along with many others, I jumped out of the row and ran into nearby jungle, and my journey began. I spent many weeks in the jungle escaping communist soldiers, wild animals, and countless landmines. You know, millions of landmines was in the jungle. And I swam across rivers and climbed up numerous mountains in order to reach Thailand sometimes in August 1975. And now I'm here with Tom talking to Hillary, and that's my short story, Tom.
Amazing, amazing story, Tim. I always love to hear it. And our guest today is Hillary Vargas. Ms. Hillary Vargas is a life coach, motivational speaker, entrepreneur, youth mentor, and educator. She is the founder of Ms. Hillary's Kids, an amazing nonprofit organization. I visited the website the last few days. She is doing good work. And Ms. Hillary's Kids is designed to support and empower young adults with learning disabilities, behavior challenges, or who come from rough or underprivileged backgrounds, reach their full and highest potential. Hillary believes in empowering each of her kids to reach for the highest star and in teaching them that they, not their circumstances, determine their future and the effect that they will have on the world. She aids them in seeking out the richest soil they can find and plant the seed of their dreams. As they care for the seed with Ms. Hillary's patience, they slowly see it begin to grow. They care for it and nurture it until one day it blooms like a rose from a crack in the concrete. Amazing work you're doing, Hillary. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Tom. Thank you, Tim. As always, an honor. Thank you both for having me. I'm really excited to be able to share with the world some of the things that I've been inspired to do through the principles of Napoleon Hill. So thank you both for having me here today.
Now, I was going to give Tim the first question, but I'm going to butt in here a bit. You just finished the leader, Napoleon Hill leader certification trip at French Lick Resort in Indiana. I hear it was an amazing resort and an amazing trip. Talk about that a little bit, because both Tim and I, of course, have been on these certification trips, and It's hard to put into words how amazing they are, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. And I think you said it perfectly. It was really hard. It's really hard to put it into words. It's something that I think that everyone who has the opportunity needs to experience it. It was a magical week. We went to Indiana to the resort. Absolutely gorgeous. There's a lot of history in the resort itself. And the foundation, you know, Judy and Tino and Alan did so much work to just give us the best of the best for five full days. We had people from Bolivia. We had people from Africa. We had people from Mexico, from Australia, from all different parts of the world, from all different parts of the states. And this group was very magical. It was very magical because we came together for one purpose. And I think we left with a huge mastermind alliance. We left with, you know, even more definition of purpose, knowing that we have, you know, ourselves and, you know, serve the world better once we implement these principles and how we can do that. So it was absolutely an amazing experience, absolutely amazing.
And you had some VIPs on your trip. You had the president of the Napoleon Hill Foundation, James Olofsson, and the grandson of Napoleon Hill, Dr. J.B. Hill.
Yes. Yeah, which both of them were absolutely amazing men. I had we had an honor to do the high tea party, and I actually sat with Dr. Hill and his family, and it was amazing to get to meet his family and to have more intimate talk conversation with him about, you know, like what it is like to be the grandson of Napoleon Hill and what his purpose is and where he wants, you know, to go. And the biggest form of flattery is, you know, he told me, he goes, "Hillary, you're so young and you're so passionate about what you do." And so we were, you know, talking back and forth about that's the key of taking action and just loving what you do and not being scared to do it. And it doesn't matter what age or where you come from, that everyone has a purpose and just, you know, going forward and never looking back, applying the faith. So it was a really amazing experience just to have them there to hear their experiences. Dr. Hill shared letters of Napoleon Hill that he wrote to his late wife and also to other people, which he's later going to write a book and share these letters with the world. And it was just an amazing experience. I mean, having him there, having him. So it was really amazing.
Yeah, I spent a week with Dr. Hill and his wife and his two kids in Malaysia, David and Evelina, I think is the daughter's name. Somewhat of a different name. Beautiful kids. He adopted them from somewhere in Russia, I believe. Really, really amazing family. Kim, I'm hogging all the airtime here. So you grab this first question for Hillary, please.
Yes, Hillary, welcome to the show. And my first question to you is that from what have you learned so far, the principle of Dr. Hill's, the 17 principles of Dr. Hill's, how does the 17 principle from Think and Grow Rich help our future generations?
Well, thank you, Tim. First, I honor your story, and it's really an incredible story, and I can't wait to know more and hear more about you. But this in particular is so important for our generations. Napoleon Hill had a dream. He stated that if every single school and every single state had the principles that he taught, then the world would be just a better place. And so when I started myself teaching and learning the Napoleon Hill principles, and I started teaching them to my youth, I mean, these are youth that you can just imagine they come from every obstacle. Some of them have been on the streets. Some of them don't have parents. Some of them are immigrants, and they come here to this country in the pursuit of an American dream. Some of them have, you know, done things in the past where people have told them they couldn't do it and they're not capable, or some of my kids have learning disabilities and been told they weren't smart enough. And so when you implement these principles to the youth, no matter where they come from, no matter what age, what you find is that the results are absolutely incredible. They get into this faith, they get into this implementation that, yes, I can do it, and nobody else can tell me otherwise. And I've seen that because we have kids at Harvard University right now, and we were one of the organizations to break record to be able to get these kids there. And I truly believe it was because they had the 17 principles. And when you implement the 17 principles and you practice it with them and you teach it to them, and it becomes their second nature, they walk and they talk them. And when they do that, the universe will conspire to give them exactly what their dreams conspire, you know, what their mind is thinking about, and it shall be achieved. And so I truly believe that this is really the key to really educating our future generations to become great leaders, to become great men in the United States and outside the world. And also to know that if somebody, you know, like Napoleon Hill was able to do this and study some of the best of the most successful people that they study in their history books, then they themselves can one day do amazing things as such. So definitely a big believer of the 17 principles, definitely a big believer that all teachers should be educated in these 17 principles. And definitely, you know, one of the dreams is, like when Napoleon Hill said, is to get this into every child's hand. And I really believe that if this was done, then the world would just be a whole different place. So it's definitely being done. And I encourage everyone, it can start with your kids at home. It can start with your neighbors. It can start within your community. So definitely make the change and implement this, because it's really amazing stuff what you can see them do with the principles.
Wow. And just, you're speaking right to Tim's story there, Hillary.
Amazing.
When Tim first came to the U.S., him and his wife, they didn't speak a word of English. And when they went to the grocery store, they'd poke a hole in the sugar and the salt so they would know whether it was sugar or salt. And when he first got a job at Allstate on the phone, I think, was call center, customer service. He begged them to be in sales, and you can tell his English isn't the best, even today. And yet, even though his English was poor, he outsold everyone else like 3-1, just because they would go home after one sale, and he would stay at the office until they basically kicked him out and told him to go home. And so tell a little bit about that story, because it really goes along with the group of people that Hillary is dealing with, Tim. And as she's mentioned, you know, a lot of people new to the United States, they dreamed of coming there. There's opportunity there for sure, but they're in a whole new world and often with a different language. And you've experienced some of that, haven't you?
Yes, I have, Tom. This is what I do appreciate, the work like Hillary's work, because, you know, when we do not have any direction as to what to do or where to go and how to do it, and especially when you come to United States and you're thrown into that jungle and without any direction or without any equipment to do whatever you need to do. My experience in that part was trying to make a living. But like I told you before, Tom, I didn't know how it happened, but once I walked into Barnes & Noble, that book, the Think and Grow Rich book, Hillary, stared at me right in the face. I bought the book. Of course, it was quite expensive at that time for me. But I said, why not trying? So I read that book. It's just like going back to the jungle again, just like one step at a time. You know, you have to read a few words, a few sentences, and then you go into the whole paragraph, and then you don't know what it means, and then you got to check with the dictionary, and you go back again and again. So the whole book took me a long time. But what happened was, it's just like one step at a time, the little extra work, like the extra miles principle, they're going the extra miles principle that Dr. Hill was talking about. Those are the things that have made me successful in what I'm doing. Everybody's go to sleep, everybody went to lunch or doing anything. All I did was just a little bit extra. It's just like 1 or 2 minutes at a day at a time. And that's what the principle helped me very much so, Hillary. And I appreciate the work that you do. But out of that 17 principle, though, Hillary, did you notice that the kids like any principle more than any others? Or did you find out that any one outstanding principle that they do like most?
Well, the one that can refine a lot in their life is applying faith. Because they go, you know, they come with me, we mentor, we go through the principles, and then when they go back to their environment is when they're really tested. You know, when they go back to neighborhoods and they're really being tested by their friends or sometimes their own family members who are negative. You know, when we were in this process of getting five of them to Harvard, A lot of people thought we were crazy. A lot of people were like, you know, and the first question that people even asked me was, are you being fair into believing that they can make it to Harvard? And I was like that's without question, of course. And applying faith was very big for them, because I always tell them this quote that, you know, resigned it with me, is that for me, faith is like the wind. You cannot see it, but you can feel it. And as long as you know and you implement faith, it may not be something that you can see right now, intangible, but you can believe it so badly, and it becomes, like Napoleon Hill says, an obsession, a good obsession you think about, and it's what you wake up to, and it's what you're hungry for. And so that one in particular, for some of my students that have, you know, they come from the rough environment, or, you know, like Tim, like you, that they come from, you know, other countries, and they have all this negative, that they just have to know that the greatness is within them, and it's up to them to dictate to where they want to go, and that nobody can ever take away their dreams unless they allow people to take it away. And so I think that one in particular, especially when they're young, they need to learn that, and they do. I mean, because at that age, you think you know it all, right? When we were teenagers, and our mom or teacher told us, don't do this, don't do that, and we do the complete opposite. So we also need to learn is not the naysayers, that the naysayers, the opinions of others are none of your business, and you got to move forward. And that one in particular is one that they carry in their hearts, especially, and it has helped them a lot to just be where they are today, which I can just say that I'm extremely proud of them, because the work is done by them. You know, I just can guide them and mentor them and give them keys and tools, but at the end of the day, they have to do the work, and they have to go back to their environments, and they have to fight the war. You know, it's like we always say, lose some battles but never lose a war. And on an everyday basis, some of their environments and some of the people that it's around them, they have to choose. So definitely the apply faith is a big one for them.
Wow. And Tim, isn't that exactly the action that you took and the thought you had when you jumped out of that line to be executed? You had told me about numerous people, more than one, with machine guns, not pistols, firing at you. And you said it was like a James Bond movie, although you weren't thinking about that at the time, but where you could feel you could see and feel the bullets hitting the dust, the sand, and hitting the trees and the branches. And you just felt like, well, I took action, I applied faith, and somehow God must want me to get through this, because these bullets are all going by me, and they're not single-shot pistols, they're machine guns.
Yeah, I'm reliving as we're speaking now, Tom, about the situation. And Hillary, I spoke in front of a student, 6th, 7th grade. One of my daughters, middle school, she teaches at that school. So she invited me to talk to the kid. They loved the story. What I did, if you do have any time later on and you wanted me to speak to the kid, and I wouldn't mind to do that, you know, just let me know. I'll go in and speak to them about how I get out of and use the principle, the 17 principles that I didn't know at that time, did not know anything about the principle. But what happened to me, like Tom was saying, applying faith, you take action, you believe in God, but God is, or somebody up there that's standing on your shoulder saying that, hey, you know, you got to take a chance, you got to leave, you got to do it. You know, God will not help you, but you have to help yourself first. So the faith, it's like you believe in God, but you got to take action knowing that once you do it, he will help you doing it. So I was dancing around the bullet like the children were saying that I love your story. I've got a lot of letters from the children. They love the story that I was dancing around the bullet with the belief that that bullet would never hit me because I have somebody standing on my shoulder watching me, looking at me, protecting me. So with that belief, with that faith that I do believe that there's some, the principle does work, at least for that faith.
Right. And it reminds me of a thing my dad used to say all the time is, God helps those who help themselves. So he was on your shoulder, but you had to jump out of the line for him to join you.
Yes, yes.
Nice. Now, Hillary, I grew up in a family. My mother volunteers a lot. She probably volunteers more in her retirement than most people some people work out that number of hours. We grew up knowing that volunteering was important. Myself and my two sisters all volunteer locally in our community. One of my sisters around the world on World Vision missions. And yet, sadly, if I look around at a lot of my friends, they're not adding a lot of value to their community or world. Why is it so important for you, a young person? I love to see this in a young person. Why is giving back to our community so important?
Thank you so much, Tom. And thank you, Tim. I'm going to take you up on that offer. And as well as Tom, I would love for you both to get to know the kids and tell your stories, because I think it's so empowering when we share our stories with the youth and can see that there's been others that have been able to overcome obstacles, and then they have, you know, so if they can do it, so can I, believe both so much. I love that question, Tom, you know, because I get that question all the time. And it's a question, I think, based on fear sometimes, because I think that as human beings, there's a part of us in psychology, there is a part of our brain that we need the feeling of happiness. We need the feeling when it's a sincere thank you, when it's a sincere hug and a sincere like kiss on the cheek. And that emotion part is what we as humans all need. But the problem, and I would say the more of the challenge is that, for example, I was once an urban kid. You know, I grew up with a single mom. They immigrated from Colombia. My father left us when I was pretty young, and so I had to start working. And one of the biggest things that was installed in me, my mom always said, love all human beings. Just love all human beings. This house is without judgment. You know, we have this saying in Spanish that goes, mi casa es su casa, which my house is your house. And so in Colombia, our culture is very united. You know, the neighbors know each other, and there is a sense for community service. There's a sense for helping one another. If you see an elderly, everyone will run to this person to help. And then it's interesting because sometimes here in the U.S., we become too much of an individualist, where it's about me. And it's about what are you going to give me in return for what I do for you. And I think that it's a sense of ego. It's a sense of sometimes selfishness, but I also think it's probably a sense of fear, because I think some people want that feeling, but they're also scared because of their past experience. And I really encourage everyone, because we need people to serve. We need people just to extend that second hand and say, Tom, how can I support you? Let's start something in our community where we go and do an outreach project with the kids. Let's start volunteering here. Let's doing this. And it just takes a few people to take the initiative and take those around them and show them. Once you show them and you give them that emotional feeling, it's kind of like they're hooked. They're hooked and they want to keep doing it. So I think it's getting out of our mind that we cannot do anything by ourselves. As human beings, we need to support each other. When you see a child growing up, the child needs his parents to teach them how to eat, how to walk, how to shower. And as we get older and we become elderly, we're also going to need the support. So we need to install this within our community. And we also have to be able to take a stand for serving and outreach and doing community service. As you, Tom, when I was deciding to do this at 24, I decided to leave my career on the side. So when I was younger, you know, I tell this story to my kids all the time, because I grew up without money and I saw my mom struggle. I promised myself I would never end up like that. So in my vision, I thought that I had to do business and I had to be, you know, making money. And that was the only my way out of my neighborhood and not to end up in a situation where I wasn't successful. Behold, God had a different path for me. And at 24, when I graduated college, I decided to turn down a six-figure income job in New York City and decided to do AmeriCorps. And at that time, AmeriCorps was paying $10,000.
No. Wow.
Low poverty. So you can just imagine, I just graduated college with 3 degrees. I'm under poverty, and I'm on food stamps. But I've never been so happy with my life. I've never, ever been so happy with my life. And I think people get scared. They get scared because they're like, you know, do I have the time? Do I have the resources? And I explain to people that when you die, all these things don't come with you. What comes with you is a legacy. What comes with you is what they say. You say, you know, Tim inspired me by his story. Tom gave me an opportunity to share my story. He inspired me. And those, I inspire someone, is what we as human beings need to do more in this country. We need to not be individualists. We need to not think about ourselves. There should never be jealousy or envy or hatred towards anyone. But if there was more love, and we share that love with our community, with those that really need it, then the world, I truly believe, it sounds cliche, would be a better place. Gandhi, you know, and he's one of my favorite leaders that I've always studied him, he says, be the change you wish to see in the world. And it starts with you. It starts with you implementing these things in your community. Right now, you know, a lot of people have reached out to me, like, Hillary, how do I start a nonprofit? How do I start my own thing like you do? Because I'm scared. Like, I don't know. You know, and some people are very successful entrepreneurs. Some people are just, you know, they're like, I just have this passion. How do I give back? And it's just a matter of asking, and you will receive, and you'll just know. So it's so important. And, you know, these kids, these youth that we sometimes see on media and we see on newspaper as these bad kids and these thugs and whatever, you know, the media wants to call them and society wants to call them, they are our future leaders. One day these kids will be the president. These kids are the doctors and the lawyers, the entrepreneurs, the engineers. And I truly, truly believe in that. And if we don't come out and speak about these topics and implement Napoleon Hill and the principles and get together and mastermind with people as yourself, Tom, and people like Tim, then where is our kids going to be? And who's going to teach them? And where is our world going to be from 10, 20, 30 years from now? And it's a question that we must ask ourselves. Are we being individualists? Are we going to unite together, hold hands, and say, you know what, together we can really make a difference?
Wow. Man, you got two old guys like Tim and I all motivated and excited now. And I'm just loving this. Now, I'm speaking tomorrow. Tomorrow is the United Nations International Day of Happiness. And one of the things when I was studying, I found this really cool survey study they did, and other studies have proven it, that you are the happiest when you are focused and engaged in some positive effort, generally to make the world better. And yet so many people, I've worked with people who, they in the afternoon, they talk about, oh, I can't wait to get home tonight and watch this TV show and that TV show and that TV show. They're so interested in comfort and relaxation, and yet studies, part of this being engaged and happier and focused when you're doing something positive, it's not when you're watching television. It's not going to create a legacy for you. Comfort and relaxation should not be your aim. If you live in North America, that's like a global blessing. The world doesn't live like we live. Like, come on, show that you're grateful for that blessing by getting out and making life better for at least one person, or even more if you can. And so I really love what you're talking about and giving back to your community. And people will be thinking, well, I'm busy. Well, I'm tired. Well, I need to relax. Get out there and do it, and you'll find you'll have more energy than you ever thought possible. Mm-hmm. You'll be excited, and you'll love it. It's just get out there and do it. There's, what can I do? I don't know what to do. Find your nearest neighbor. Offer to help them. There's always something you can do in your community to make an impact. I love it. Man, you got me excited here. How did you? Let's talk about how Miss Hillary's kid started. I'm still getting over giving up a six-figure income for $10,000 instead. I'm thinking you must have had some opposition there. So talk about how Miss Hillary's kid started and what's the organization about. And I'm thinking when you said five kids to Harvard, you didn't mean like you drove through the parking lot or you walked through three buildings. You mean they're going to Harvard to study, right?
Yes, they're going. They're Harvard students. Uh-huh.
Wow. So talk about how this amazing organization started.
Thank you, Tom and Tim, of course. Well, you know, it's funny because one of Napoleon Hill's purpose, the first one is definition of purpose. And again, I thought that my purpose was just to be a successful businesswoman. My mom is a teacher. I come from a family of very powerful and strong women, Latina women, who somehow, some way are teachers. You know, my aunt is a professor for deaf in Colombia, and my mom has always loved kids. So growing up, we didn't have, my brother and I didn't have a normal childhood in the sense that our living room was like a daycare, and wherever we were, there was five other kids from all multicultural backgrounds. So my love for kids really came from that, is that my mom raised us, you know, with all these kids at home. And, you know, it was kind of like that love, because a kid is so innocent. A child at the youngest age is so innocent, is so pure. And like I tell people, if you see the world through their eyes, you'll never not be happy, because their world is so bright and is so beautiful. And so when I went off to college, I went off to college at a point in my life where I was still unsure what I wanted to do. My brother at 10 years old got diagnosed with depression, and he also tried to commit suicide twice. And
wow.
So that was really like life experience that I had to go through at a very young age to understand why and what was going on. And then all the teachers and all the doctors told us he would never make it to anything, that, you know, he was going to end up in a mental institute, like all these negative things. But my mom and I, we just believed, right? We applied the principles of the having faith. And so when I went off to school, I still did business, and I did psychology because of my brother. And so I've always say that a lot of my patience and a lot of my love started because of my brother. Because when you see somebody go through heavy depression and try to kill themselves and lose all faith in themselves, you have no other choice but to have faith for him. And so when I was in college, I used to volunteer at a local YMCA in Providence, Rhode Island. And Providence, Rhode Island has one of the highest rates for homelessness, for drugs and gangs and a lot of, you know, things that, you know, it was kind of similar to how I grew up, but I was like, but these kids are so innocent. And so I would volunteer at the YMCA, and they came with like just so much joy. And, you know, I just started like loving it. It's like when you do something that you love to do, you don't worry about the money. You don't think about the time. And I started noticing that I started volunteering more and more and more. And as I got closer to my senior year, I started really praying. I was like, God, I'm so confused on what to do, because I was scared, right? Because everyone, I mean, if you go to college, you hope to graduate and get a good job. And that's what they teach you. Go to school, get a job, and then make good money and get benefits, right? And, you know,
I know. I've heard this before.
Yeah, the basic thing that everyone teaches you. Now here I am at 24, like being so confused and be like, but that's not what I really want to do. And I remember sharing the vision with a friend of mine, and I was like, you know, I really am torn apart. Like, I have these jobs lined up back in New York City, back at home, you know, and, you know, my mom was like, come back home, you know. And so I was kind of like, tug of war, what to do. So on one side, you know, it was very, it was really amazing that I had worked my butt off through college, and now I had these jobs, and I had a six-figure job lined up, and I was one of the youngest to be taken to this job, and all this, but the other side, my heart was not there. And what I teach people is that you always have to follow your heart. You cannot follow the money, because the money will not go with you when you die. And for me, the important thing was just to be happy. You know, somehow, some way, I said, God, if I take this journey down this path, I know that you will guide me. And I just had to believe. I had no idea. So when I graduated, I did the AmeriCorps program. And, you know, the AmeriCorps program is like the Peace Corps, but it's in space. So I started working at an urban charter school in Providence, Rhode Island, where kids come below, you know, poverty line. Parents, a lot of them are immigrants. A lot of my kids had learning disability, and a lot of them had behavior. A lot of these kids had suppressed their anger. And so I saw what I saw with my brother. And what I realized is that all they needed was love. Like, they really just needed love. Like, I didn't understand why the teachers were sometimes so negative and telling these kids that they would never make it. And, you know, that they were, you know, Latino kids and they could never amount to anything, and not give them the love and the understanding and the patience that they needed. And so Miss Hillary started because when you work at a school, they have to call you Miss by your last name. But I didn't want the kids to be afraid of me, because a lot of the kids, when they come into school, they build this fear, right? I'm the teacher, you're the student, you fear me. And I didn't want that. So I decided not to use my last name. And I said, Miss Hillary. And since that point on, literally, Tom and Tim, everyone calls me Miss Hillary. Like, even the parents, people that meet me, it's like it's become my second nature. And when I started working in these schools, I started noticing that there was a lack for mentorship. You know, we all know that as humans, we need a coach, we need a mentor, we need somebody to guide us, to push us, to always believe in us. And in the educational system, especially in urban cities, it becomes very robotic. A kid goes to school from 8 to 3. There is no relationship. The parents are working and sometimes lost. And it's not that they don't want to be part of their children's education. They just can't. And then their child has behavior issues or has a learning disability or has anger. And nobody's dealing with this. And so I was like, this has to stop. And then I became an advocate for parents, because some of my parents didn't know the language. And I just didn't understand why we weren't providing the resources that legally, you know, they could have. And, you know, then after 6 years of working in education, I had an accident. I had an accident that brought me back home. So if you hear my story, I was going to go back home after I graduated college. I did AmeriCorps and I stayed in Rhode Island. 8 years later, I had an accident that really had to come back home. And that at that point was when I decided to start the Miss Hillary's Kids, the nonprofit organization, because I truly believe in teaching these kids the principles of Napoleon Hill. As you can imagine, some of the schools don't know who Napoleon Hill is, nor do they accept the philosophy. So I didn't want to be restrained on how I taught my kids, and I wanted it to be a real conversation, and I wanted them to know that there was other human beings that believed in them. So Miss Hillary's Kids started with the philosophy of just love, the philosophy of having mentors in your life to help you, to guide you, to push you to the next level. And so the organization now, we have some of the most amazing mentors from around the world, successful entrepreneurs, successful, you know, radio talk shows. And it's crazy because all the human beings that we have as mentors, they tell me, Hillary, you say you always, you know, I'm always like, thank you so much for what you do to my kids. But they always tell me, your kids give me more than I can ever ask for. And so it's an exchange of love. The mentors they realize the need, like we were talking before, to give back. And then the kids realize, oh, you know what? There's adults out there who are not going to judge me, who are going to love me. And so now, right now, the organization is doing amazing things that all the naysayers at one point told me and told the kids and told everyone that we would never do it. We're breaking records. We're pushing the kids to do extraordinary things. One of the biggest things on the foundation is we talk a lot about suicide and depression prevention. I currently have 5 kids who at one point were suicidal thoughts or tried to commit suicide. One of my girls now is in medical school. And we talk about these topics. We talk about this. We find solutions. They have the principle of Napoleon Hill. They have the support system. And it's incredible. It's really incredible when you just implement this and you give them a little bit of hope what they can do. And it's the most amazing and rewarding feeling. It hasn't been an easy journey because, as we all know, right, God doesn't give you anything that he doesn't think you can handle. So you can't expect life to always be easy. But the question is, you know, do we quit or do we just keep fighting and fighting? And I'm happy that through the grace of God, I didn't give up, because at one point when I started this so young, I was so passionate and people were trying to turn on my light. And what I teach is that you can never let others turn off your light. You have to be the light for the world. And when you decide to be the light for the world, there's nobody that can stop you.
Wow. You are doing a motivational seminar right here as we speak, man. I'm motivated.
Yes.
I'm excited for you. You can hear the excitement in your voice, and powerful. All right, Tim, you get the next question. I'm just blown away by Hillary and the amazing work she's doing. Looking at some of the testimonials on your website from some of these young people, I'm going to need a tissue soon. It's pretty cool.
Thank Thank you.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm like at the edge of my seat now. So should I jump up and down to deal with this kid? You know why? What happened with Hillary? I'm going back to my speech in front of those hundreds of kids again. You know, when you look them in the eyes, all right, you see that those eyes glowing at you, looking at you, and saying, what is this guy's talking about? And at the end of the speech, they come and hug you, and they write you, and, you know, I up to this point, I haven't read all the notes yet, but every time that I read the note, my eyes, my tears run down my eye. It was just very powerful that they wrote, kids wrote back, because if they heard our story about love, about, you know, fighting the obstacles, about, you know, don't let anybody kill your dream, you know. So they like those things. I think we can make much more things that help them to achieve whatever they want to achieve. And, you know, you're growing up in, Hillary, you're growing up in the Hispanic community, I believe so. And they too, you know, need help from a person like you and all. And, you know, I mean, going back to the principles of think and grow rich, you know, how have the principle of think and grow rich in the principle of Dr. Hill's principle influenced Mrs. Hillary Kitts in its founding and presently? I know you talked about it a little bit, Ron. Can you elaborate that a little bit more? Please.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Tim. I'm sure that the experience is when you get a hug or when you get a note from a kid, it's the most beautiful thing. And, you know, when they hug you, it's the purest of love, you know, because it's not fake. It's a very genuine love. So I really honor, you know, that you share your story out there, because, Tim, your story is, it's like you're like, oh, my God, you know, he was about to die and he made a decision. Clearly that he's like, no, I'm not going to die today and I'm going to take an action and I don't know what's going to happen, but, you know, you pretty much implement going the extra mile, you know, having faith and just believing, and here you are today and you're able to share your story and inspire others. So I really want to honor you for that. It's incredible that you do that, and you get that of the kids saying, wow, you know, and the hugs, and it's the most powerful thing. And, so when I started the Miss Hillary's Kids nonprofit, as you can imagine, as anyone that's had always big dreams, I was so happy and like blessed that I had the Napoleon Hill in my mind, that I have read the book Think and Grow Rich multiple times, that I had been a student of it. Excuse me, I had been a student of the 17 principles, and every single principle that is discussed helped me to make my dream come true of starting the nonprofit. Because when you want to start something, you have no idea what battles you're going to get into, or what naysayers are going to give you their negative opinion, or what legal stuff you didn't know about and, you know, you have to do it a certain way because that's what is required. And so really having the principles by my side and implementing each and every one of them, you know, creating a mastermind alliance. As part of a nonprofit organization, you need to have a board of directors. And the board of directors, you can mastermind alliance, going the extra mile in the sense that you have to do a lot of research and you have to figure out, you know, what am I going to do? How am I going to apply for grants? How am I going to get the resources? Applying faith in the sense that there's going to be moments where, yes, as a human being, you're going to be like, oh, my God, what did I get myself into? But at the same moment, you have to have the faith. You have to have the vision. And like Napoleon Hill says, and I said it before, is like it becomes an obsession, a healthy obsession, because that's what you want. You know, in Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich, he talks about how when Henry Ford wanted to do a part of the engineering of the car, he told his employees, and his employees were like, this is not going to happen. And they failed and they failed. He said, keep doing it and keep doing it until it was finally done. And so implementing each of the principles as I started my journey of my nonprofit, even as an individual life coach and as a motivational speaker, on a daily basis. In Indiana, we got a poster with all the 17 principles in a ship. And I really loved that poster, and I have it right now by my desk, and I'm going to give copies to my kids, because one of the things that I like to do is I like to look at the principles every single day. I like to look at them when I wake up and look at them when I go to sleep, and I highly recommend this for anyone, because sometimes we get so busy with life that we don't realize that we just need that refresher. And then you ask yourself, how am I implementing these principles in my life? What am I lacking in? Maybe I'm low on one and very high on another. You know, one of we had this, I don't know if you both probably did it. Judy had us do, you know, which ones were high, which ones were low in one of the activities. And it makes you discover which principle you're strong on and which principle you work in. And so it's very refreshing every day to just look at the principles, to use them both professionally as well as personally. So I recommend everyone, if you don't have the 17 principles, print it out. That's the first thing that I would do is print them out and go through them and ask yourself, what am I not implementing? What if I am? Because it is 17 principles. And so for me, it's what helped me to be successful. It's what helped me to stay motivated. And it's what's helped the organization to really take it to a whole different level. You know, we're getting, you know, so much attention and so many amazing opportunities. And I really think that the secret of the reason why is because of the 17 principles. And believe it or not, a lot of people have no idea who Napoleon Hill is or the 17 principles. And I always tell them, the biggest gift you can give yourself is become a student of these principles every single day. Go to sleep to them, go wake up to them. Go to sleep to them and wake up to them. And so that's been really the backbone, the foundation of everything that I've done, each and every one principle, going over them on a daily basis.
Wow, this is incredible stuff here. I said before the show we'd probably go over our 40 to 50 minutes. We can probably go like for 3 days. You should see Tim's Think and Grow Rich book. It looks like it's like been read about 800 times. It's all beaten and battered and yellowed and highlighted and ripped and taped together. He obviously looks at it on a regular basis because you can't just read the principles once and be like, okay, I got him. All right. It's like every single day you got to like examine what are the principles am I using today? What's important and what my plan is for today? Which principles am I going to use? And it is a daily practice. Come on, life throws negativity at you every day, voluntarily, without your help. So you have to make a concerted effort to fight back with positivity purposely. And so review those darn principles every day. Now I'm embarrassed because we got this far and I haven't even shared your website or asked how people can help you or contribute. And I'm pretty sure by the end of this day you may see like a donation from me because I'm pretty well on your giving site, how can I help site or a page. So give your website. You're a nonprofit, so people can donate to you, and I can tell from your story that the money goes to a good cause. You don't have a secret Ferrari fund or anything like that.
No, and that's the beautiful thing is that you get a personal note from the kids, and you get to see every single dollar, wherever the donation, it can never be too big or too small where it goes to. And when you get, you know, when you see them in Harvard, for example, and the excitement, I mean, it's the best feeling ever. And I think people know that this is a sincere organization and that we're very ethical. And, you know, coming from the background of Napoleon Hill, I think that that's very important for me, is for people to have that and see that, seeing that their contribution, their time is not being wasted and it's going for the cause and helping these youth to establish a better future.
Wow. And you can tell from the website, from the testimonials, that that is happening. So Ms. M.S. Hillary's with the S, Hillarys, kids.org, Hillarys, kids.org. And in the nonprofit world, like a dollar helps, $5 helps, 38 cents helps, like, and if And if anyone's listening who's not in the out in the community giving of their time part of life, at least give some of your money. And so go to that site and make a donation. So MissHillaryKids.org. Amazing work that you're doing. Thank you so much. I'm excited, man. Usually I'm tired at this time of the day, but I think I'm going to have to go out and sell something or work out or something. I've got so much energy now.
Yes, indeed. again, Hillary's, I'm pretty sure that Tom and I can be there at any time in case of your kids, and you bunch them together and let them hear Tom's. And Tom has an amazing story to tell, and I can cheer them up with the story that I do have, and I won't mind to be there and talk to them. I hope Tom won't mind either, Tom, right, Tom?
I would love to do that, for sure. Yeah. I'm going to talk about later, Hillary, I'm trying to donate, but it's not going to the, I'm logging into PayPal, and it's not sending me directly to how to donate, so look at that, observe that process, make sure it works well, and that it's easy for people to donate right when they log in, and then I'm going to talk to you later so I can give you some money as well. Even though Canadian money is like, I'm sure it helps something, but I'll give you some American money, but I want to donate and help what you're doing. MissHillaryKids.org. I am excited for you, and I know that the final part of the Napoleon Hill Leader Certification process is doing a service project. I think you are living your service project. You should have just been awarded it when you finished the trip, because your life is a service project, and that deserves certification. And I'm looking forward to sharing with your kids and Tim sharing with your kids and blasting this out through social media. You are a rare person, and you have an obvious passion. And this is obviously a God-given life purpose, not just one you picked out of the air, and I am so impressed.
Thank you
so much. Me too.
Thank you. Well, it takes beings like you, Tom and Tim, to be able to see, you know, the rareness in others, and to, you know, it's funny because, Tom, you reached out to me on Facebook, and I was of it, and I was like, oh, I'm so excited, you know, because I heard about you from Jeremy, and so I was excited to get to connect with you. And so it's also, you know, what you see in me, I'm just a reflection of you, and it's just a beautiful thing to be able to have other human beings with the same passion, the same belief. And please, any support that I can give you both in starting something, your community, or wanting to give back. And I'll definitely would love to have you as guest speakers for my kids. And, you know, together we can really make a difference. And so I'm really excited. Thank you so much for your contribution. I'm going to look into it right now. If something's going on, I encourage everyone to email me at MissHillaryVargas@gmail.com. So I'm going to look into it right now. But if anything, we do have a GoFundMe page as well, and that's on Facebook. So you can also donate directly to the GoFundMe page. It's on my page, and it's Miss Hillary, or we do have a Miss Hillary's Kids page also on Facebook. So this is that other option as well.
Well, I will be looking at
Beautiful.
That option later today as well. Thank you so much, Hillary. Have yourself an amazing rest of the day. Thanks for joining me, Tim. I think you two could have had just an amazing interview, the two of you, because you really have so many similar principles and ideas that you both follow to get to where you are. So thanks so much, guys. Have yourself an amazing day.
You too, Tom.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Journey to Success Radio. If you or anyone you know would like to be interviewed for the show, email Tom at tom2tall.com for details.